The reading today comes from Psalms 119, verses 33 through 40. In your pew Bible, it's page 532. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill my promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness.
You may have seen something in your bulletin today that looked familiar from years past. A little insert. And by the way, no, I'm not confused about the time of the year. I know it's not Christmas. So we're not talking about Santa Claus making a list and checking it twice. Although, for you who would like to know, there are 308 days until Christmas after today. I also know that I have sometimes spoken rather facetiously about this insert that you have today, about how we used to trace our weekly spiritual pilgrimage along this little record system in Sunday school. Present, well, of course, you had to be present if you filled it out. On time, Bible, that meant Bible brought, usually, and sometimes that's how it was, although we also hoped that it had been read, and I'm not talking about just the cover, the color of red. Offering, prepared your lesson, and attending, preaching, and then you have visits made, phone calls, letters, contacts, all of that kind of stuff. And I've talked facetiously about that, how we traced our spiritual pilgrimage with that, and we don't do that anymore. We've gotten rid of these many, many, many years ago. But as we think about checking the list, I want us to think about this record as well. And you can do whatever with this that you would like, other than throw it at me after the service. But I'm hoping that perhaps you might take it and stick it in your Bible, or better yet, maybe post it on your refrigerator as a reminder during the week. A reminder that would help us to maybe think about being a little more accountable. That's one of the big buzzwords these days, accountability. But to help us to be a little more accountable and to keep before us certain important factors that help us in our spiritual pilgrimage, our religious life. Because these things oftentimes would at least give us some guidance, and you did not want to be the one in my church that turned into the Sunday school every Sunday a record that was not 100%. Even if you read your Bible just the 10 minutes before you got to church, you wanted to make sure that that had been done and that you had it with you. And while sometimes it can be trivialized, and that journey can be trivialized if that's all we do is say, well, I've got to check off these things on the list. If we really think about what is behind that list and what is behind our spiritual journey with God, it can help us once again to focus on what we do, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. The overall theme of Psalm 119 is the law. The law. The law of God. In fact, the word law in the Hebrew is used 25 different times in this one psalm. Of course, if you look at all the verses, you know, it's got to be used a lot. The word, which is speaking of God's decrees as well as God's statutes and ordinances, but a decree and a statute that is dynamic, is used 23 times. The word statutes is used 22 and commandments 22 times. So the law or the statutes, the commandments, the ordinances, the things that God ordains for us to do and wants us to do, though He doesn't force us to do them, are extremely important to help us in our spiritual pilgrimage. Morgan and Brandon took an important step the other week, but it wasn't the first step they had taken. They had taken a much more important step in times past when they came to the point to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and to commit themselves to Him. And then that other step to publicly declare it and to unite with a fellowship of Christians with whom to worship, with whom to study, with whom to wrangle sometimes, with whom to ask questions and seek answers, and with whom to minister. Another important step is part of what God wants us to do. That is part of the ordinance of what we do. In fact, in Baptist circles, we call it the ordinance of baptism. In Roman Catholic and Lutheran, Episcopal and some other churches, it's called the sacrament of baptism. But it's very important because it is that public commitment. You can't hide anymore. You can't hide the fact that you've committed to do these things in your spiritual walk and to be present with God. In our passage, there are other key terms that are used, such as testimonies. Each of these individually call us to remember various ways that God brings us His law, and in various circumstances, even in persecutions, temptations, even sometimes in our intellectual doubts. Collectively, though, they remind us that God is never far away from us. And when we commit ourselves, we're not doing this by ourselves. It is because God is ever present to help us that we can accomplish these things. We also find in this passage that while the law and all of these other words are not a substitute for God, they do serve as a guide to doing the desires of God. In the New Testament, we find that while the law is not the means any longer of being justified, it is still a good guideline for living generally in our daily lives. God's statutes are not seen by the psalmist as a burden, but as bringing joy to his life. How many times do we sometimes feel like, oh, not another Sunday? How many times do we feel like the guy that said, I'm not getting up and going to church today? And his wife said, but you've got to go. I am not going. There are hypocrites there. There are people that say mean things to each other. There are people that don't like me. I'm not going. And she said, but you have to. You're the preacher. These statutes, these ordinances, this law is not to be a burden. In fact, oftentimes when it burdens us, it's because we realize we don't measure up. And we've kind of put them on hold. But rather, they are to bring joy to our lives. Because in keeping them, we are becoming closer to God and hopefully closer with each other. These statutes are the written law, but the word or promise that is mentioned here. And as David read a while ago, talk about the promise. That is God's dynamic communication of Himself to us, and it's the dynamic communication from God. So we check that we have our Bibles, right, on this little list. Or at least some of us do. You used to always bring it. You didn't want, even if it was one of those little zippered things, and then the zipper breaks, and you know, you can't get it open, but at least you brought it, right? Sometimes we even check that we have read it. But there's a major difference between bringing the Bible and reading the Bible. The primary way to learn to live by God's ordinances and God's statutes, by God's Word, is by reading the biblical text. and not just on Saturday night or Sunday morning, but reading it every day. I challenge you to do that, whether you do it systematically working through a book, or whether you just decide each morning to open it up, to let it fall open and begin reading. And I promise you, you will find something that will help you during the week. We also find a block here asking if we studied our lesson. A lesson which begins with reading and studying the Bible, but also contains looking for understanding of the text and the principles that lead to life in God's ways. We find this mentioned in verse 37b of this passage. Finding more understanding from God. The psalmist indicates his great desire to keep and observe the law with his whole heart. We're not talking about observing, though, just by doing it, but observing what God is teaching, what God wants us to learn. He asks God, and I quote, "to incline my heart to your testimonies and not to gain." Interestingly enough, the Ark of the Covenant that was built was often also called the Ark of the Testimony. It represented the testimony of God's steadfast love and grace for those who wished for and longed for God's righteous precepts. To do this, one, however, had to be present. Present with God, present to study, present with not just physical being, but with heart and with mind. To get the full effect of growing in God, we are not only to be present physically and mentally and spiritually, but we also need to be on time, lest we miss the fullness of what God wants for us. And on time in sharing our lives with our tithes and offerings, with our singing, with our praying, with our study, even with our proclaiming. Had a professor one time that said, if you are not in the right place, then you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And not only do you miss what God has for you, but the world misses what you can bring. And we need to be ever present in responding to God's leadership, to God's promise, and present to share those statutes and those promises and the ways they have come into our lives with others. That's where we got into each week. You were asked if you made visits, if you made phone calls, if you wrote letters, if you asked somebody to come to church, or if you went and told somebody about what God was doing for you. I was reading several weeks ago and ran across a statement which I thought, that's interesting. It said, one of the major problems in the church these days is that far too many Christians have outsourced their ministries. And they've outsourced them to the staff or to the deacons and elders. Because each one of us has a ministry. God has not called us simply so that we can sit back and say, bring on the blessings. God gives us those blessings, but God expects us to use them to minister. To minister with each other. To minister with outcasts. To minister with family and friends and co-workers. We each have a ministry. And if we don't perform it, it doesn't get done. We also find that the psalmist meditated on the law, loved it, and says that he delights in it. He saw it as dynamic, not stilted. He saw it as giving light and guidance so that he could have deep fellowship with God. So as we close this morning, we need to remember, perhaps, to check a list. Check it every day or every week, every month, every year. And as the psalmist did, find the Bible, corporate worship, and life within God's ordinances and word in our hearts. A means of delight for us. describe it as good and bringing us righteousness, and then giving our lives greater than ever with the assurance that as we check the list, even within our hearts, that God will be present, that God will multiply what we do, and that we can honestly say, I'm a child of God, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the place, and even on time. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, help us. Help us to recommit ourselves to that spiritual journey, that journey that has so many different components, but which not only brings goodness for us, but brings goodness for others and glory to you. We offer ourselves as we check the list of our heart, so that we might learn and grow in your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment, our hymn of decision, is 562. Be Thou My Vision. As we sing this hymn, our altar is open for any who would make any kind of decision. A decision to openly, for the first time, profess Christ. A decision to join with this fellowship, whether through baptism or church letter. A decision to recommit ourselves to following God's list. Hymn number 562, Be Thou My Vision.